Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 513 of the program, of the podcasting program. We appreciate you listening. If you would like to reach out, please do. Actually, you fucking guys, we'll talk about this later. You can send me an email. I'm not giving out the email address. Additionally, call us, 949-464-8257. We would love to hear from you via the call-in line, the voicemail. Additionally, we appreciate anybody that contributes, and in return, you're able to hear all the bonus content that we do. So click the link in the show notes, subscribe. Yeah, our friends at Red Circle, so you never miss a minute of the show. And if you hear me say that at the end, that means you're not subscribed. So sign up. It is $5 a month. You get all the, or $50 a year, get all the bonus content, bonus bri. There's a new bonus bri in the works. I've just compiled some stories to discuss that could be coming as soon as next week. So very exciting. I'm joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, but I hate to bring the show down right at the start. Just read this headline. Hundreds gather at candlelight vigil for last Hooters in West Virginia.
You figured that would be a stronghold for Hooters.
Right. Why would it be peeling back in West Virginia, the Mountaineer state?
Yeah. And, I mean, because you figure, you know, it's a... That's the opioid crisis central West Virginia. So
I would assume a pretty high percentage of the servers.
Yeah.
So how do you get through that shift?
Exactly. You got plenty of employable, nubile, hillbilly lasses. I mean, if you're not of a certain generation, you're going to forget. Hooters was such a phenomenon. Alan Kulwicki was driving the fucking Hooters Chevrolet in NASCAR races every week. They had a fucking airline, Hooters Air.
That's right. They did.
Yeah. And I think they just flew regional routes around the South, but still.
It was huge. And then huge. I think the waitresses realized, oh, wait a second. Yeah. I'm getting objectified for like $15. I could work at a strip club and reveal like 4% more skin and make a lot more money.
Yeah. And they always put them, they made them wear pantyhose.
Yes.
Which is like, I mean, when I was a kid, my mom worked at the bank. Mm-hmm. And I remember it being like Sunday night and she'd be like, ah, shit. I'm out of pantyhose because, you know, they tear or whatever.
They'd come in that egg.
Yeah, they come in the egg. And so she'd have to run to the grocery store to get a new pair of pantyhose to wear to work, which I don't know. I guess showing your legs was too suggestive in the 80s. I don't know. But I couldn't look at these chicks in their dolphin shorts and this pantyhose. It was just like, you know, what year is it? It just seemed like so of another time. It wasn't for me. Now, that said,
I hooked up with a girl in college who was a Hooters waitress.
Oh, nice.
And she had fake cans.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be rude, but like, why aren't you working at a strip club? You got fake boobs to work at a Hooters?
Yeah. Yep.
She's from Laurel, Maryland, which, if you know, that makes sense.
Right. Is that kind of like the backwater of Maryland.
It wasn't quite Eastern Shore Maryland. That's like Deliverance country, but Laurel, I've met quite a few sketchy people from there.
Yeah, there. I will be honest. There are no. Well, I know of one Hooters nearby. Of course, there used to be one, basically in the stadium of Anaheim Stadium, the Big A, not far from the Big A. There was a Hooters in the parking lot. So obviously, make sure you're armed if you go there. Bring like have a boot knife or something. You never know. But I believe a friend of the show, John Day Fullerton, who's called in before to let us know how much he loves having sex with women on their period and how many threesomes he's had and many other disgusting sexual activities, perversive activities that he's into. And one of his claims to fame is he inseminated his beautiful wife in the parking lot of that Hooters, which is
good for him. Yeah. And what we know about, you know, about health from health class in eighth grade, he couldn't have done that while she was on her period.
That's right. That's right. We did learn that. We did learn that. And there's only one local Hooters that I'm aware of, and it's freeway adjacent, and it's almost basically connected to a prostitution hotel.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that's like where those places can exist.
It's just one of those things, like back to the original point, like how is it ending in West Virginia? But also, how is it 2024 and Hooters still is a thing anywhere?
Both things can be true. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, because it was thriving. I mean, it was like the Starbucks of its time. I mean, they were everywhere. There was you couldn't walk, you couldn't spit without having to hit a Hooters.
I believe Darren Dalton's wife was on the cover of the Hooters calendar.
Oh yeah, who can forget the Hooters calendar? It was like totally a thing. R.I.P. Dutch.
The vet probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, the vet turf probably got him.
Yep.
I'm 19 days remaining in my 75 hard journey. And shout out to all the harders still hanging on there in the audience. I don't know. I know Darb in the OC is still going strong on his 75 hard journey because he complains about it to me via text every single day. So I know he's still doing it. Once I stop getting complaints, and how about we
got to do a wellness check?
Yeah, I might have to swing by his crib and make sure he's not pissed drunk on Coors Light in the garage. Darb in the OC is still in. I know that Super Lee, who's adopted the Rich Piana arm workout as part of his daily routine. I know he's still in. I know Ben 906 is still in, which is quite an achievement for Ben 906, who's well known to hit a happy hour on a Friday night. So excited for those guys and anybody else that is still continuing. And I saw today, dear friend of the show and personal friend of mine, Catherine Shady has started her own 75 hard journey. I believe she's on day 11. I got 19 days left. And Ed, I'm at that point where like, I will drink again.
But you don't miss it.
I don't miss it. And I've come so far that I'm kind of scared to like, even if I drink one day, I'm like, I'm going to ruin all this progress I've made. I've created this. And that's the whole point, right? Is if you do something for long enough, it becomes a habit. I guess that's the idea. I never really read up on where it came from, but that's what I assume. It's like, hey, you just keep doing it.
You're trying to like reset you recalibrate your life.
Yeah.
The one thing I have said to my son, who was like going through a workout and diet thing, as I said, the key is when you take off the restrictions.
Yep.
You have to take parts of this. Like you have to keep working out.
Yep.
And you have to occasionally just have chicken breast and like, you know, you have to incorporate that or else you can never enjoy the rare cheeseburger and beer.
pick your spots. You got to pick your spots, and it's the 80-20 rule. Like, just do, you're doing good 80% of the time. And then that way 20% of the time you can fuck off and you don't have to feel like shit about yourself because you're not doing it all the time. But one thing I was, so I've done in over the years, I've done a few dry Januaries, much like dear friend of the show, Telly Tuput, he'll do like dry January 3rd to dry January 8th. You know, that's his dry January. I do a whole month of dry January. I've done that several times. I just recently did sober October. I didn't drink for a whole month, but I was thinking today, 75 hard. I think this might be the longest period I've gone without consuming alcohol. And I swear to God, since the 1980s. Because I was in high school. 1989, I was in high school. I was 15 years old. I was drinking at parties every weekend. Like, I was, you know, I wasn't drinking every day. And I've never really been a daily drinker, but I've always been a weekly or every couple of weeks drinker. I've gone a month. Definitely, I've gone a month several times. But I don't think I've ever gone 75 days without drinking since the decade of the 1980s.
Wow.
Right? That's a real one.
That's crazy. I've done some dry Januaries. I did a 2 month off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never done 75 since I started drinking.
Same. I don't think so either. So congratulations to everybody that's involved themselves and is, you know, you took up a challenge and you have achieved the challenge. And even if you didn't achieve the challenge, even if you gave it a shot, that's amazing. And maybe you'll do it, pick it up another time or find some other challenge that you could do. Cause I'm open to another challenge. I'm going to keep it. You know, I got a couple things happening where I'll probably drink once this, so this thing ends on March 17th. So I'm definitely.
You got to celebrate somewhat, right? Like you got to enjoy a drink on that first day.
Yeah. Yeah. My chick went to our local pizza place last night to pick up a pizza, and she used the number one dad move where she's like, oh, I'll just order it there so that she can sit at the bar and have a beer, which is one of the great delights in life, is it not, Ed?
Did that last night.
Oh, see, you get it. Yeah. So she goes to the bar and she's sitting there having a beer at the bar, and the bartender comes over and he goes, hey, where's Brian? I haven't seen Brian in a while. And she goes, you haven't seen him this year. And he's like, has it been that long? And she's like, yeah, he's doing this thing where he's not drinking. So it's like, they're asking about me at the bar, I guess is my point. Like that's how long it's been. So I'm definitely going to drink on that day. And then I got something planned the next weekend, but I'm just like kind of cruising, and I'm going to keep up the two workouts and keep, you know, reading books and hustling through it. Cause it's kind of, you know, it's, I'm enjoying that, the structure, the intentionalism.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive.
Nope.
Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Tell me who died.
Ed, who died?
So, first of all, the hearing this song brings me back. Saturday night, Michelle and I went to a couple's house for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very lovely.
You guys get there, you walked in the front door, you removed your shoes, and then you placed your keys.
Key party.
Yeah.
No. But we were just like having dinner, and then I think the conversation took like, not like serious, but it was a somewhat like, I think maybe death or something came up. Oof. And in the background,
stop
give
it.
Me the night.
Stop it.
Give me the night comes on. Yeah, Stop Georgia. It. And I was like, I was just fighting laughter. That's and amazing. It was such an inappropriate time to laugh because we're talking about a dead parent or something. Yeah. So, and it felt like such a piece of shit. And I'm just doing everything, like biting my tongue. I'm doing like pinching myself because I'm like, I can't laugh. And all I'm thinking of is this song. So tell beautiful. Me who died. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's a sad segment. And it will not be an update.
And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, very sad. Very like sad. But I can't say anything. It's just, it's such an awkward, and to explain it would derail the whole conversation. So I'm just trying to, and it was like a perfectly nice evening, but like, man, beautiful. Give Me the Night came on at the absolute wrong time for me.
I love that shit.
We lost Kenneth Mitchell, Star Trek Discovery and Captain Marvel star, only 49 ALS.
Ooh, very sad. Very sad. Now, terrible. Captain Marvel, is that one with Brie Larson and her big old set? She's Captain Marvel, right?
That would be my guess. Is it like they just ran out of superheroes and they're like, ah, fuck it, just Captain Marvel?
I know there's that new one.
Like
it's
Spider-Man and Hulk. They like have names and then they're like, fuck it, we'll just Captain Marvel.
Who the fuck is right? No, they keep doing Ant-Man. Like what? Like, look, I love Paul Rudd and I love him getting that bag, but what you mean to tell me there was a superhero that was a fucking ant? I never heard. You know who I heard of, Ed? I heard of the Justice League. And look, I know that's DC, but I ain't a nerd. I don't know comic book
rules. I used to like it though. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, I used to watch that cartoon. Wonder Twins.
Who doesn't love the fucking Justice League?
They're going to have Superman. A movie called Captain Marvel before the Wonder Twins.
And hey, look, Captain Marvel's a lady. Okay, I guess. I mean, that's fine. Captain Marvel doesn't sound like a lady. Maybe that's my own biases. That's my own prejudices coming out. But was she a lady in the thing? That's fine. It's fine if she was. I never heard of her. Did you see there's this new one? That's it's Dakota Fanning. And it's a whole bunch of chicks.
Somebody tells the future. I saw a trailer for something like somebody can see into the future.
It looks so horrendous. And the even the people that are in it. I think I read something where Dakota Fanning. No, not Dakota Fanning. Don Johnson. Johnson.
Yeah, Melanie Griffith.
Yeah. What's her name? Dakota Johnson.
Yes.
That doesn't sound right. Anyway, Don Johnson, huge penis. His daughter, Dakota Johnson, is the star of this thing. And she's like, I don't know why they chose to shoot it on a green screen. It's off. Like, she's not even pretending it's good. And it's like, and it's a huge flop.
Sandbagging that shit.
Yeah, she got her back. And she's like, look, we're not making it. It sucks too bad. We're not making a sequel. So I'm just going to make fun of it, which is kind of, I appreciate. Anyway, RIP Kenneth Mitchell. I never watched anything Star Trek, so I'm not familiar.
No, I was thinking that. I definitely like gave Star Trek when I was a kid, when there's nothing on TV and I had like five channels. I gave Star Trek a shot always for like 5 minutes. Same. And I'm like, this is bullshit. What is this? Like, same. I never got into this.
No, it was so bitch. And it had weird sounds. It'd be like, and they'd fucking cruise down to some planets and the special effects sucked.
And their drab polyester clothes.
Yeah. And Scotty, you know, there was one of each. And what's his name was a real bummer. The doctor.
Sulu.
No, that's a different guy. They had all the guys. It sucked. I've never liked it.
I've definitely never watched a full episode ever in my life.
No, Jean-Luc Picard, not interested, never cared, didn't like it. Fuck Star Trek.
Yeah, but very sad.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Kenneth Mitchell.
Poor guy.
R.I.P. Pamela Salem, Miss Moneypenny and Never Say Never Again, 80 years old. So she was the one I think most people would know from like the Roger Moore and it was Lois Maxwell. She was in like a ton of them.
Yep.
And then there've been some updated ones, but like this woman was just in Never Say Never Again. And that was the one where Sean Connery came back and he was all old. Like they brought him back for one extra one.
Right. Yes.
And he was just going through. He was just getting that bag.
Yeah. He had the hairpiece on and stuff. Yeah.
This is a fun fact. He only wasn't wearing a hairpiece in Dr. No. Every other James Bond, he was wearing a hairpiece.
Yeah. The piece. Yeah. Yeah. I do recall that. Very sad. RIP. Although 80 years is a decent one.
Good run. She was a Bond girl, sort of. I mean, Moneypenny's not necessarily a Bond girl, but she was a girl in Bond.
She was there. She probably got a piece. If she wanted a piece, she probably could have got a piece.
He was willing to give it out.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And he'd tune you up a little bit, and he'd be not remorseful about it, which is apparently as fine as Scotland. Yeah.
And brag to Barbara Walters about it.
Yeah, exactly.
RIP J.O. Archer, motocross star and X Games medalist, 27 years old. He was practicing a triple backflip on his bike and I assume landed on his head or neck.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that he's Australian based on that name, J.O. Yeah.
I actually like it. It is impressive what people can do. I am uncomfortable watching flips like that because I'm thinking you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people achieve it because I'm thinking they're going to die.
Yeah. No, it's so stressful. Now I saw him. They're like, he's the first guy to ever complete the triple backflip in competition. And then they showed him do it. And you know, they have that inflatable ramp now. So he triple backflipped and landed on an inflatable ramp, which is impressive. But I'm thinking to myself, if he died, he must not have been doing it on the inflatable ramp, or he came up short of the actual inflatable ramp and, you know, landed on the head. I was watching one X Games one year with the snow. They were jumping snowmobiles and one dude paralyzed.
The winter himself. X Games.
Yes. And we've gone too far, guys. Like, how much adrenaline did you need? I got an idea. This works for me. Do some drugs. Okay. It works great. It gives you all that, like that feeling. You get it real quick and you're good to go. Like, you know, you don't need to jump off shit and almost die. That is a bad way to go. Very bad.
A successful day at the office is you just cheated death.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't die today. Hey, how'd today go? Oh, I'm alive still. Oh, cool.
When I see those clips of the people in the kite suits.
Oh,
no.
Fuck those guys.
No.
Fuck.
So much downside.
There's in like the score of that, like the real adrenaline rush of that is getting real close to the ground. So they go to Switzerland. There's this one place in Switzerland that's got like real sheer granite rock that you can jump off of down into a valley.
Yeah, everyone's seen clips. They don't realize, but that's
the spot. And, you know, they don't do it in this country because it's fucking illegal. They have to go to places where wild places like Switzerland, where they're like, do as you wish, jump off the thing, you know. And then what they'll do is they'll jump off a thing and then they'll have like their buddy like holding up a hula hoop and they'll be like, I flew through the fucking hula hoop. Yeah.
Like they're playing Quidditch.
Yes, and they're going a fucking 100 miles an hour with a tight parachute on.
Oh, get terrible.
The fuck out of
no
here.
Chance.
What's wrong with you?
Wait, no please. Chance. Fuck. And sadly, the fourth person we lost this week, Ewan McIntosh, Keith from the British Office, 50 years old. He was so hilarious. He had the dry delivery, big dude.
Yes.
And he would eat the scotch egg and just make comments.
He went as Ali G for Halloween.
That's right. And there was that one scene where he's just talking to Martin Freeman's character, Tim, and he had already shot his shot and it didn't work. And then he's like, you see, men are attracted to what they see. Women are attracted to what they hear. So I tell them what they want to hear. And they're all over. Like he was just the best.
He's a real ladies man. For Philistines that aren't familiar with the original Office, he's the Kevin.
He's right. He's the big fat dry delivery guy.
Very,
and like
very funny.
And if you haven't, like it's like 8 episodes total or like 10 episodes total. Yeah. It's worth going to find the British Office. It's great.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's two seasons of 6 and then two specials. So,
and then the special is a great Christmas special.
Yeah, exactly. It's very good. And it's so original. Like there was nothing ever. Now you see stuff like it all the time, but everything's just copying of this first thing. I want to know, this guy's only 50 years old. I get that he's fat, but.
Yeah, I read it was like kind of sad because like he didn't get much work, and then during COVID times he was broke, filed for bankruptcy, and then was just doing like cameo and shit like that. But like seems like post office he didn't have a lot going on.
Meanwhile, the guy that's the imitation of him, and again,
Oh yeah, isn't he the highest earner?
He's the number one guy on Cameo. He makes millions of dollars on Cameo in addition to his millions of dollars in residuals that he gets from being on The Office, which is great. But, you know, throw this guy a bone, although you can't now because
he's sadly. RIP Ewan.
Yep. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the sports world?
Today, we are recording this on February 26th.
Yeah.
12 years ago.
Yes.
On this very day.
Yes.
One of the great moments in bowling, or dare I say, yes, sports, or even human history happens.
I agree with you.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is why I said at number five. Are you kidding me? That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
Damn it right. One more time.
To claim it, a strike to claim it, and he got it.
That is right. I did it. Number five. I assume that must be his fifth world title.
Yeah. Kidding me?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? I know he was supposedly. This is a lot like we talk about practice, where you never get the full context of the thing, but it makes more sense in context. It's my understanding that he was responding to a heckler.
Who said, who do you think you are?
I guess.
Still not exactly the response, but
very
nonsensical.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? I am.
I believe Pete Weber just only recently in the last couple of weeks has retired.
Oh.
From professional bowling. Although I imagine
he's not retired from slaying.
Yeah, no, he's slaying it, and I bet you could still get a money game with him in the Des Moines area or wherever he calls home.
He's pulling a Big Earn McCracken shakedown type situation. Oh,
yeah. Big time. Yeah, he's running cash games. He's fucking diner waitresses. I mean, he's got a pretty nice life. Good for you, Pete Weber.
Pete Weber, legend. Former NFL MVP Adrian Peterson has been facing property seizures.
Very sad. Do they seize your property for whipping a 3-year-old with a switch until his scrotum bleeds, Ed?
Yeah, that's certainly needs to be examined because, you know, he was an all pro at that, apparently, as
definitely
well.
Was. I know he's country and whatnot, but maybe, you know, maybe we can rise. We can get that out of our country people, whipping 3-year-old children like
with a switch.
And with the switch till their scrotum bleeds, which it's just not behavior that's conducive to good child rearing. Somebody wants to tell me, I'm pretty grounded in that. Now, what I would like to know is what AP Jr. is up to these days, because he was 3 years old.
I think I know one thing he's up to: hating his dad.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I also thought, well, they're seizing property and he's probably like trying to talk his way out of it. And they're like, hey, roll the footage of his 40th birthday where he dressed like Aladdin and showed up on a camel. Let's see if he was fiscally responsible.
Yeah. He couldn't make his mortgage. He hasn't made his mortgage payment in 6 months, but he spent $180,000 on this. Roll the tape. And that's him rolling up at his birthday. Oh, hey, guess what I just did?
Hey, cool.
I just dropped the pencil.
Of course.
It's back.
It was probably you got a little scared because you thought about Adrian Peterson with his switch.
Yeah, I would be very scared. And I'm a grown man.
I would mean, be- think of how strong he must have been on that 3-year-old.
Yes, I mean, he could easily do that to me. He's much bigger and stronger than me, and if he wanted to whip me with a switch, he probably could. Imagine what he could do to a 3-year-old child that's in wonder about the world. Like, what could that kid have possibly done that could warrant that kind of response? There's nothing, obviously.
And I remember, like, one of the excuses was like, well, that's how I was raised. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but you understand that's not how it's supposed to go down, right? Like, that's not the catch-all for every bad behavior. Well, that was how I was raised. Oh, it's cool. Called
breaking the cycle. Did you like it? Did you like it when your paw had you go grab a switch?
Did you, like, really enjoy your dad's company after that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, too. Yeah. Are you guys chatting on the phone much these days?
And considering how many kids he had in different locations, that might have been the only quality time Adrian Jr. spent with him.
I'm very interested to know what that child is up to these days. Because, you know, you remember Floyd Mayweather Jr., who can't read, one time he was smacking around his wife or girlfriend or whatever she was, and right in front of the kid. And you could actually read this. It's online. The kid had to give his testimony in the police report. And he was like 9 years old. And he was just watching his mom get smacked around by a guy, you know, like probably fearing that she was going to die that night. I wonder how his life has turned out after that. I wonder how Floyd feels about what he did to his, not just to that woman, who was an adult. Like, she didn't deserve that. There's no behavior that caused her that reaction, right? But imagine that kid. That kid is not in an adult relationship. He doesn't know how adults act around each other. Now he's probably going to be doing that to other people unless he got some help of his own.
Yeah, so he'll write a memoir in about 10, 15 years. My Father, the Mexicutioner.
Can't wait.
Kevin Durant confronted a fan who called him a bitch as he was running onto the court.
I mean, at least, I mean, we all know he does this after every game, except it's usually through burners. So at least he was able to do it in person for once. But because usually he's like, the guys are like, hey, what are you doing after the game? KD, Durantula? You want to hit the club or anything? And he's like, no. I got some
mentions.
I got some replying to do through my burners. And what says I'm not a bitch more than acting like a complete bitch and respond? You make $40 million a year.
But I'm of two minds here. Yeah. Obviously, I can't stand Durant, and he is a bitch. That being said. Yeah. I'm always of the mindset that a player who a fan wants to get all mouthy with him, he should be allowed to punch that woman square in the face when she did it.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, it was and a woman?
It was a woman who looked like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
Okay, well, now I'm on Kevin Durant's side, because there's nothing worse than a woman that's a hardcore hoop fan like that.
Then her boyfriend/husband, whoever he was, well, like, tried to, like, get involved and, like, and then he's like, hey, listen, I have a sports podcast. And then Durant just turned around and walked away.
Okay. Look,
Durant is a bitch and everything he says is true, but, like, he should be allowed to punch both of them in the face.
I agree. Remember when, was it Marcus Smart was at Oklahoma State? And he was inbounding the ball and somebody talked shit to him and he just turned around and socked him in the front row. Yeah,
I think it was a Cowboy fan who might have called him a very charged word.
Deserved 100%.
And I supported Smart then, and I'd support Durant for socking this woman in the face for that.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, who are you? Just some fat lady who shows up and wants to heckle guys? Like, you should face consequences.
100%. I agree with you.
Lakers blame this weekend's loss to the Warriors on Anthony Davis's losing his voice. He wasn't able to call out things, and so they lost.
LeBron James took that one off.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he
sat. Load management?
He was low. Even though it was the first game after the All-Star game, which he played in. He played in the All-Star game.
But not first team.
Yeah, but then he's like, oh, healthy scratch, or I got a little tweak or something. And look, I know LeBron James, the greatest athlete we've ever seen. And I know, Ed, there's no bigger Michael Jordan fan than you. Remind me how many times Michael Jordan sat one out against the Pistons or the Cavs or the Pacers when he just, yeah.
I saw a crazy, like, I can't even come close to it. The stats of Jordan's load management when he was a Wizard. He played huge minutes, and every game that he wasn't, like, actually injured out of the line. Like, he did get hurt at some point that year, but when he played, like, major minutes, and he was 40-something.
Yeah, he was a beast. He was a beast out there. Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe Bryant. He was on trial for doing rapes. And he could, nobody would have blamed him if he's like, hey, look, I got my rape trial out here. He would fly. He would hop the G5 every day to make it to shoot around against the Suns.
Yeah. He's like, hey, listen, I got to deal with this puncturing the towel girl's butthole, but I'm still going to, drop 28-7 tonight.
Did you say puncturing the towel girl's butthole?
That's what I said.
Jeez, Ed.
Well, geez, Kobe. You didn't have to do the rapes.
True. He didn't. That's true. That's all Kobe.
He got a nice pink diamond for Vanessa, so all is good.
$3 million. Vanessa, she went, look, she clearly was eating her grief afterward. I think we discussed here that she lives not far from me, that in the period after Kobe's demise, if she needed any kind of grief counseling, I could go over there and help her out. And if it would take me too long, I could chop her in to her place.
Mm, that would be nice.
Yeah. But she had been self-medicating with pasta, I think lasagnas, maybe.
Bread bowls.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the chowder in the bread bowl. But I saw her at Kobe's statue unveiling, as Kobe has had a statue placed at the crypto.com arena where he was a great champion. And she's gotten on the Ozempic or something because she's looking real good. Vanessa is back. Yeah. And
I can tell you, if I lost a child, you would never see me doing anything responsible again.
I think about it all the time. I think I would do. Remember when Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend?
Oh, the fake death. Yeah.
Now look, he was just trying to get out of child support, must not have been that fun being Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend. Rest in peace. But then they found him, and he was just working on a fishing boat down in Mexico. And he's like, hey, it's just, you know, can you leave me alone? Like, I feel like if that's kind of what I wouldn't be trying to, look, I pay my child support every month. Were I to lose a child, I would disappear into like a new life.
Yes. Somewhere. I don't know, go to Thailand and like never be seen again. Yes. The grief is you can't even imagine it. So I will give Vanessa all the passes for 100% her grief.
That's true. But I'm just saying, if anybody, like, she's over her grief of the marriage, the loss of her husband, somebody would be wise to try.
The marriage was probably over a long time before. Well,
remember,
the helicopter hit the mountain.
That's right. Yeah, that did. But remember, they filed for divorce. And then they rescinded it a couple years before the choppering. So, you know, like, yeah, they love might have been on the rocks. I'm just saying, if somebody's at the right age, you know, the right has the means, I would try to meet her if I were you, because she looks pretty good and she got lots of money.
She's got a bag and a half.
Yes. All the bags.
Cam Newton was caught on video. He was in a brawl at a youth football event this past weekend. Yeah. And I'm sure you can guess what he looked like.
Is Cam Newton allowed around children, Ed? I mean,
I saw his hat look like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Have the local authority seen
what
his
are
hat?
You doing, buddy?
Excuse me, Mr. Newton, can we speak to you?
We got did you get a look at the perpetrator? Yeah, it was a 6'5" giant dude wearing a Wicked Witch of the West hat.
We got a sassy headwear alert from a concerned parent. We're going to need to escort you from the school grounds. I'm sure you understand.
What is he doing?
Isn't that one? There was a wide receiver. He had a TV gig. Everyone's going to know what I'm talking about, but I don't know players.
Jimmy Cephalo?
Yes. It was recently. And he was just recently retired and he got a TV gig and he was at a Pop Warner game. And this was in Texas, Dallas. And then something popped off and his brother was the coach and his brother murdered another guy and is going to prison.
I don't know this.
You would know the guy because he was a real player, but I can't remember his name because I don't know any players. But it's just like, how serious are you taking this?
Yeah, I remember there was a guy from my area who was like a really good running back. And I think he made the Pro Bowl one year as a return man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was really good. And then he went back and became like a youth coach back in the area where I grew up. And like he got arrested for leaving threatening phone calls at one of the kids' houses who quit the team or something. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. What is wrong with these people? Psychotic.
Yeah. Well, but also just looking at what Cam's been up to lately in the fashion scene, I think there should always be an authority nearby just to make sure he's okay.
It's a lot. He's got, I mean, the hats, they're like extra large and extra sassy. And, you know, there's a reason he couldn't get a job. And I think it's hat related mostly.
Yeah. It's one thing when he's the MVP, but if his level dips, he's a very unstable dude. You can't have him leading a team unless he's like firing on all cylinders.
It's true. Yeah.
And then the biggest sports story of the week, because now the Super Bowl's over and baseball hasn't quite kicked off. NBA is still in February.
Yeah.
It was the spring training outfits. The MLB Fanatics produced pants were blasted by players and the union chief. The pants are see-through.
I mean, it's basically what the Hooters girls were wearing. They're basically wearing white pantyhose out there. They look so cheap and
And it's like, are they really saving money or did they just make a bad decision? They thought these would be more breathable or something. But there's an easy fix. Just go back to last year's pants.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's Fanatics, or I don't know what that is, except
Fanatics is like you. I know, like if I'm buying a Knicks hat or T-shirt for my son, I get it through Fanatics a lot of the time.
We're not going on that one website that you talked about, but we go. Yeah, no, I too have bought multiple items from Fanatics, and then every week they're like, you got $11 in credit. You know,
yes.
they get you I coming did. Back.
I got my beautiful Orioles AA hat from Fanatics. Yeah. And then there's always some deal. There's always a deal. And so if you order
for that,
if you order full price from Fanatics, you're a sucker because you just couldn't wait 4 hours until there's the next deal.
Always 25% off. So many deals going on Fanatics. Now, but also it's Nike via Fanatics. And Nike makes good shit. Like everybody knows if you got some Nike shit, it's sewn by the ruined, atrophized knuckles of a Malaysian 5-year-old. But that Malaysian 5-year-old knows how to sew and they're giving him the good material to sew. Like Nike is always well made.
Do you think Nike, because I keep hearing Fanatics being bandied about, do you think Nike like has their PR team because like this could have been their fault and they're like, let's blame this on Fanatics.
Good. Because I believe there's a Nike swoosh on the actual garment, right? So it seems like, they would have got their team behind this Fanatics situation and put it on Fanatics, but they look so shitty. You know how like whenever you, if you watch, you're watching a ball game and it's like the Marlins are playing.
Right.
And you're, and you look at the Marlins uniforms and it looks like the Marlins version of a low rent little league team trying to be right. the Marlins, you know, like, but now all of Major League Baseball looks like that. It looks like a little league. It looks like Harbor Area Baseball, where I grew up, Costa Mesa, California, where we played. They wouldn't have Little League. We had Harbor Area, which is like rec league baseball, and all the teams were the wrong colors. So, like, if you're on the Dodgers,
oh, you're in the Reds, and they're yellow. Or
yes,
something.
They were. Yes, if you're on the Dodgers, it was like yellow and blue, and if you were yeah. on the Astros, it was the Dodgers colors, and the Giants were green, and all the teams were the wrong colors. I think so, you know, because they couldn't get the licensing or whatever. It's similar to like, how does this happen? Their names, the digits, the font on their names, the graphic design is so shitty. Their names are too small,
right? And like, I, you know, I'm just starting to pay attention a little bit more and stuff like that. The Orioles should be pretty good, but. Like when pitchers and catchers were reporting by day two, I remember just hearing the buzz. I hadn't seen it, but hearing the buzz, like, these uniforms are shit. And like, you were just hearing it. And it's like, why wouldn't you fix it then? They're just like doubling down and they're making them play games in these garbage uniforms. Yeah, it's weird.
How does it even get to that point? Yeah. Like, take for instance, Ed, Survivor. Okay. Survivor's still on. And I just saw a commercial for it the other day. It might have been during the Super Bowl. And Jeff Probst's face is looking. He's gotten the facelift or something. He looks weird.
Oh, is he like is he like Botoxed up or is he?
I think so. Yeah, and he's dyeing the hair. Well, I don't know. He looked a little odd. Now I don't watch Survivor, but I have seen it. And you know that. And well, here's another one: The Challenge, which is just like Survivor, except it's with people on MTV, and their faces are weird too. But they do these. They do these. They have these like. Challenges that they do where it's like a game and it's like,
yeah, hey, you gotta hold a pole for eight hours.
Yes. Shit like that. Yeah. You stand on this thing. Then you jump to this thing. Then you got to rappel and you got to, and then you, you swing across and then you're hanging from a, and then you're hanging from a helicopter. Well, they don't just fucking trot the cast out there. They go, okay, get the helicopter going. And then I get, put this guy on the back of a semi. They don't just bring out the actual cast. They go to the place. Money. Yes, they set the shit up so they figure out where to put the cameras. They make sure the game is doable with some regular-ass people. They go, hey, let's get some regular-ass people out here, see if they can stand on this pole for 7 hours. Okay, they can do it. Our cast can do it. Similarly, there's got to be some quality control. You make a new garment. Like, how many people got to put their fucking initials on the garment before the garment gets to Shohei Ohtani's dick? And apparently there's, you can see these guys' dicks through. Good thing the big Hurt's not still playing.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, yeah. especially for our show.
Yeah. We see some,
you know, dicks. There are websites that will analyze yeah. everything. We're eventually, you know, by the end of April, we're yeah. going to have like a article ranking. Everything.
Yeah.
We're going to get data points.
Well, you know, who's going to get on it is gay Twitter.
Sure.
They, you remember we were talking about Captain America showed his dick one time and we weren't sure cause there was no perspective, but luckily gay Twitter went to it and they got the protractor out and they measured like right. the size of something
else. We were getting down to the hundredth of yes. a centimeter.
Yes. Gay Twitter will tell you somebody's penis size to the 1/1000th of an inch. So if it's on display, gay Twitter's going to get a hold of it and they're going to let us know, which I look forward to, honestly.
I'm looking forward to the most underrated package. Oh. Like, there'll be some small guy. Man. It won't be Altuve, oh, but it'll be a small guy. No. And yeah. he's packing. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be, yeah. No, that's always the case. Kike Hernandez will come out there and just be donged up. And you're like, what? Dude, you're 5'9". No problem. It's out there.
Okay. I have a feeling he's not a small dude, but I have a feeling Jock Peterson, the way his confidence.
Yeah. yeah. Like, yes.
He's wearing pearls. I could yeah. see him just being packed up.
Yep. Big dick energy. Yeah. yeah. 100% see that. That's actually a really, really good vote. Okay.
Of course, our boy Nick.
Oh, yeah.
Of Nick course. Castellanos.
Okay. Well, oh, come on. Come on. He doesn't even wear an undershirt.
No.
Like, come on.
Too cumbersome.
Imagine his thoughts. I'd like to, oh man, there's so many things I'd like to ask Nick Castellanos.
Just mic him up for a season.
Yeah, yeah. Get him mic'd the whole season. Do every game. Do an obituary at some point in the game or an apology, because he'll hit 162 home runs.
Yeah, if I'm the manager, I'm like, as he's heading to the batter's box, I'm like, hey Nick, somebody's apologizing for a DWI or DUI. Yeah,
yes, whatever. Either or. He imagine his, because we've learned that his favorite superhero is Scooby-Doo, and he's got some really good. He's a dog that talks and solves crimes, you know, and
that's like a bigger superpower than anything I've ever seen.
That's right. Yeah. You can't really argue with his logic as to why Scooby-Doo is a great superhero. Imagine what his thoughts are on this whole Captain Marvel thing.
Oh,
the whole Marvel world, you know, I could listen for days. I'd love to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
Okay. Let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. What's so fucking boring and worthless? But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits.
I recall, I was having a conversation with Brad in Florida about we got a lot of feedback on the 75 Hard song, which was very hurtful to me in a great many ways.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't have it handy to me, but if you haven't heard it, go back and listen. And he was apologizing. He's like, hey man, he's like, you know, I don't think you're fat. And he's like, I just, you know, I was just doing the song. You gave me some notes on how to make it. He's like, it's, you know, you understand. And I go, I know, no, I think it's great. He goes, but then he goes, now he goes, when I was making the Manuel song, that came from the heart. He's like, cause I was just so mad. Cause that guy sucks.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, that was awesome. Okay. Couple voicemails here.
Hey, Ballers. Super League.
That's last week. How about this week? This is better.
Hey, fellas. Katie Shady.
Okay, Katie Shady.
So I have to call shenanigans on Tuesday.
Okay.
Shenanigan number one.
Yep.
Bri.
Yep.
What happens in Key West stays in Key West.
I've heard that.
Even if it's just a phone call for recipe sharing. That's how that is.
For those of you that don't remember, I was remarking that I texted Katie Shady for a recipe that we had discussed earlier that she'd made at my house, and she called me and she was wasted when she called me, to the point where I said, dude, you're wasted. And she was like, oh yeah. She didn't even, like, the normal move is to deny how wasted. You're like, no, I'm fine. What? No, just a couple of beers. She was wasted. So this is what she's referring to, that I've outed her as being a drunk person. Well, you're in Key West. Of course you're drunk.
So yeah, I might have been
hitting
the rum a little bit, but yeah. I was on vacation. So yeah.
You're allowed to.
Of course.
Everyone. Second shenanigan.
Yep.
G-Fish and your other friend who says people are always accosting them to pet their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I have dogs. I have
just a reminder. G-Fish, great friend of the show. Hockey correspondent, the official hockey correspondent and the official Brian urinates on the golf course correspondent of the show. G-Fish called in too.
Before she talks,
please.
Is this going to be another dog person who's like, well, I would never let my dogs do it. But this should recognize that some people let their dogs be all over other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, yes. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is that I do 75 hard. I do 45 minutes outdoors every single day, sometimes 90. I encounter multiple dogs every single day. No one has ever not even one time has someone said, can you please pet my dog?
And Hoboken, there are dogs everywhere. Yeah. I've never been requested or told to pet anyone's dog.
Yes.
I'm now talking about when Bosco is in the elevator with you and his wet nose is on my leg. And I'm like, you know, it's cool if you keep your dog a little closer to you.
Yes. No, I agree with you. The elevator is a different circumstance. But what G Fish emailed in about is we have a friend who claims that every single day of his life, he is required to say hi to people's dogs. He's accosted by dogs. He's forced to pet them and say hi to them. And it happens. It hasn't happened to him a couple times. It happens to him every single day, which is a lie. He's lying. Yeah.
I've had dogs like most of my adult life.
Of course.
And I will not let other people pet my dogs because I'm afraid my dogs are going to bite them or do something weird. And it's going to be awkward and not good. And most people I know who have dogs would never call somebody and be like, hey, pet my dog.
Of course not.
First of all, that's going to make the dog anxious and he probably will get bit. Second of all, nobody does that. It just doesn't happen.
Of course not.
And that's it. And Ed, you would probably never, ever be able to come to my house. My dogs are very rude and they would be all over you. So not that you were ever planning to come to my house, but you'll just have to come to Motor Pub and have some.
Yeah, get those tots.
Anyway, tots, yeah. Bye. But then Ed would be in their domain. You know, Ed's come to their house.
I get it. If I'm making a home visit, that's on me to take my allergy medication and shit like that. I'm talking about being in an elevator, being, you know, at the store. Now it's just, there's no like seeing eye dogs. It's just dogs. Like I was at the supermarket. There's just somebody walking their dog in the supermarket.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
What?
I mean, I mean, now that she brings it up, Ed, Katie Shady has allowed that her and the husband are in the process of having a pool installed at their palatial digs in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she's like, you guys got to come over for a pool party. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe you and I both go over there. I throw you on the shoulders. We do a little chicken fighting.
Would love that.
Yeah.
I also, my can opener game is strong.
I'm sure it is. No. Yeah.
Absolutely. Huge splash.
Oh, yeah. I believe you. 100%. Thank you for that, Katie. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed, what's up? I saw there were shitty seats on Southwest. I mean, here's what I'll say.
Look, this is David Bray, of course, dear friend of ours. David Bray, I haven't heard an update on your 75 hard journey. Did you tap out like our buddy Dave in Rancho San Clemente and many others? I haven't heard about that. And now look, one more thing. Dave works for one of the, I think widely considered probably the best coast to coast airline. I'll just say that.
The big boys.
Yeah. So I think he'll have some thoughts on this. Let's see what he's got to say.
Say about coach. Like you already said, it sucks, period.
Yeah.
You know, what I call first class is humane seating.
I mean, it should also be noted, not to keep interrupting, but look, it's people tuned in to hear us. So David Bray is 6'8".
Yeah.
There's no airplane that can accommodate him. And I'm understanding there's also very few vaginas that can do it, you know? So look,
he's like Blake Griffin in Broad City.
It's just too much. Okay. Let's get his thoughts.
Like domestic first class, when you walk past it, it's just a room where you're not just cramped. It's what everybody deserves on the plane.
That's right.
That's what I call it. Where you can actually move without bumping into somebody. And even then, you might have to move or bump into. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's what it is, unless you're a billionaire. End of story. So that's my take on their shitty seats. As far as pickles go, Grillo's pickles are I found them about a year and a half ago. They are fucking delicious, and they are fucking awesome. And they come in hamburger. They got some good spicy ones. They're usually right where the plastics are down in the.
What's the brand?
Grillo's.
All right, I'll check them out.
They come in like a big plastic bucket. They're fantastic. They're very highly seasoned. I was addicted to them for a while. I would come home and I would go to Costco and I would buy two buckets of them because I would go through them so quickly. And then, you know, it's like a quart size bucket, you know, like big jar or whatever, plastic. But I got to be, I was like overindulging in them, Ed. I would come home from work and I would have like five pickles. And they're fantastic. But they're so, my mouth's starting to water talking about them. They're so vinegary. And I had to tap out on them after a while. I just was overwhelming myself by eating too much, but I think I might be ready for them again.
Autumn, usually where you buy your meats and cheese and stuff like that.
Yeah, in the deli section.
Guys, I promise, the gummy bears I couldn't get. They're just, they are only sold in little 6-8 packs on the airline, but I was definitely.
The Albanese?
Oh, yeah. Those are so good.
They're so good.
And cucumbers are fabulous. If you go to a party and they've got a deli tray
got
some gross ass cold cauliflower, some broccoli, which isn't bad, but you know, that big bowl of ranch in the middle. I mean, that's what makes you get it down.
You're talking about a crudité.
Okay. But my favorite is fucking the cucumbers.
Oh, that's good.
Where Star Wars goes. I think just like Ed, I loved it as a kid. And I went back and saw the one where they had, Harrison Ford come back, and the big thing was
horrible.
The whole gang was back, and he died. And I remember this guy from like Texas.
Spoiler!
Fucking big bold letters. Han Solo dies.
Yeah.
So I thought that. I thought that was fucking awesome.
Did you call him Han Solo?
It was
awesome. Like Hans and Franz.
Love you both.
I love you too, buddy. Okay, thank you for that, David. Hans Solo. Ed, let's rank the crudité items. You walk into a party, there's a crudité with ranch. Well,
I've gone on record. Like I love pickles. I don't like cucumbers. I don't know what it is. I just don't like cucumbers. Okay.
Yeah. So you're leaving that out. That's last. What do you go? What's the first thing you go for?
First thing?
Yep.
Cherry tomatoes. I love them.
Those are good. I like those too.
That's my number one.
Yep.
I like broccoli and cauliflower.
Yep.
I'm fine with them.
Yep.
But the cherry tomato, pop one of those in, you're like, oh, this is the best.
I like those too. I always start with, and I do the cherry tomatoes as well. I always start with the broccoli because
it's the healthiest of all, probably.
You can swap, like if there's some hummus there, you drag that broccoli through that hummus and you get the most bang for your buck. You get the most hummus because the broccoli has all the surface area of the tree part and it grabs all that hummus inside the tree. So I start with the broccoli. Then I'll go to the cherry tomato and I'll kind of bounce back and forth because to me, the cherry tomato is kind of like a palate cleanser because it's got all the acid, the juice inside.
Yeah.
So then I'll go, maybe I'll get one of those pea pod thingies, those snap peas.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah, I'll hit those. But it's good. It's good for scooping. And then, of course, I mean, I know it's old school and it's passe, but don't sleep on that carrot stick.
Love a good carrot stick.
Oh, yeah. Swim that carrot stick.
Satisfying crunch.
Oh, delicious. Get a good snap. And then you follow it up with the cherry tomato, a little back and forth. Fantastic. Okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, David. Here's another weird thing about me.
Okay.
Love raw carrots.
Yeah.
I'm so on cooked carrots. I love raw carrots.
I think you're not alone there. I'm not a cooked carrots person. They got to be done really well, you know, but that's.
It's not that I've never enjoyed cooked carrots, but for the most part, I could take or leave cooked carrots, but a raw carrot, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, no, they're good. You ever fuck with, if you want to roast a root vegetable, you fuck with a parsnip?
I can't say I have.
Yeah.
Not opposed to it. I don't know if I've had a parsnip.
It's a parsnip is just like a carrot. It's basically is a carrot, but it's a little more flavorful. You know, carrots, and you still see them. Carrots used to not be orange. They used to be every color. There's every color of carrot, much like the beautiful apple.
Right.
You
do see the other color apples.
You do see the other color apple, but there used to be 800 kinds of apples in this country. Now there's like five.
And get the fuck out of here. Go with the Red Delicious.
Get the fuck out of here. Throw it away. Get it away from me. It's mealy.
That's if there's eight varieties, that's always the eighth best one.
There. I like, you know what I like is a Pink Lady.
I'll fuck with a Pink Lady. I'll fuck with a Fuji.
Oh, delicious. Honey Crisp. You like a Honey Crisp?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Delicious. Delicious. And look, I don't get them often, but I get one of those what's the green one?
Granny Smith.
Granny Smith. I get those green ones. I get a big jar of organic peanut butter out. I cut up that Granny Smith and I stick a butter knife into that peanut butter jar and I'll swab. You can't even see the chunk of apple under the peanut butter because I've swabbed so much. It's dripping. The oil's dripping down my hand. I do it over the sink because I'm putting so much peanut butter on there.
Delicious. Every Thanksgiving,
yeah,
I make some homemade applesauce and I use a variety and Granny Smith are always one of the varieties in there.
Gives it that tartness.
Yeah.
Balances the sweet. Ah, fantastic. That sounds great. A couple of emails. B, you saying other than season one of True Detective is the greatest season of television ever made is the wrong answer. Two wasn't as bad as everyone made it out to be. I like two. Three was the best besides one, and four was garbage. I hated four.
I disagree.
Watch Masters of the Air.
I'm going to check that out.
Or the Wu-Tang Doc or anything else. That. Four sucks, followed by 5 exclamation points. P.S. The way they did sex in season one was the right way to do it. That's when Alexandra Daddario got up there. She rode. She rode
him, but wasn't there a bunch of standing sex in that too?
I can't remember.
I feel like I remember there was standing sex.
Yeah, because they were both married, right? They had wives.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and their wives were people too. They were
Michelle Monaghan.
Yes. She's very good.
Else. Yeah.
She's very good. But look, Alexandra Daddario stole the show. She got that big old set out. She climbed up on Woody's lap, got to work. She did a good job. That big gal had to break that poor dude's dick off in season four with that jackhammer session. Yeah, that was the forced cream pie, right, Ed? It was where she was like, you're going to ejaculate inside me whether you like it or not.
Yep.
She's not, shouldn't be allowed.
With her cheek, pierced cheeks.
Yeah. Oh, she had pierced cheeks.
Yep.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm kind of listening. You have to forgive Jodie Foster. I'm sure she has no idea how to have sex with a man. Ed, you are a monster for changing shirts 5 times while exercising.
What?
I hope you do your own laundry and don't make anyone else wash 37 sweaty shirts a week. Take Brian with a wise advice to go shirtless, or they make these things called towels, you know? That's from our dear friend Matthew Richards.
Allow me to retort.
Yeah, please.
Well, a couple things. First of all, your tone implies a little sexism because, like, who else would wash my... I do my own laundry.
I wash.
And so nobody is washing those shirts but me.
That's right.
That being said, I sweat. It's like I've jumped in a pool. Like I'm a maniac working out.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours.
Going for it.
I burned 2,100 calories today.
Wow. Yeah.
2 hours, 42 miles. Like I'm a maniac, but I sweat like fucking crazy. And I go through multiple towels while I'm like, this is when I'm indoors, when I'm on the Peloton, when I'm outside, at least the breeze like dries it out a little bit.
Yeah.
When I'm inside, I'm just dripping like seriously a half hour. And it's like I'm Patrick Ewing. I've got a wet shirt. And so I just switch it. And then I do laundry and I do a ton of laundry and whatever. I don't like just pouring water on the ground.
Wick is what you're saying. You need it to be wicked off of your skin. Yeah.
Yes. If you ask Michelle how many times she's washed my clothes, she would say zero.
Zero. Yeah. I do my own laundry as well. Okay. Here's another one. Hey guys. Oh, I was able to dig up some relics from our time with the horse Winnie guy. Genuinely miss him. Hold on. Let's see if I can get this to play.
Wonderful.
Yes. How do you do this? Been a while. Couldn't. Oh, wait. No. Couldn't. Wait. Oh, no. Oh, I'll just download it. Here we go. Sorry, guys. I mean, this is... So, Ed, this is a guy that used to work...
Provide context because, you know...
This is a guy that used to work with our dear friend...
Dave.
Dave and... Who I should mention, Dave and Rancho San Clemente, he emailed last week, and I was struck by something that he said, and then I started rambling about something else. He said... Because I called him out. I said, oh, he said he was going to do 75 hard. He must not be doing it. And then he emailed me. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm not doing 75 hard because it's just too much reading. As if that's the real reason.
I
thought reason.
It was like, yeah, I had a crack and have a beer. Like, yeah, just the reading.
It's not too little bourbon. It's just too much reading. I'd be doing the 2 45-minute workout day. I'd be drinking the fucking gallon of water. I'd be taking the stupid picture of myself. I'd be doing all that shit if I didn't have to also read a book. Get the fuck out of here,
dude. That's amazing.
Love you, buddy. Okay. But, oh, so he used decoding failed. Open new file. What? This, how come this won't play? Dave. Come on, buddy. Had this coworker. It won't play. God damn it.
So maybe we can get it going for next week. But yeah. the coworker, if you just like made a coughing sound, right? Yeah. He would make a horse noise and like really crazy horse noises.
Yes. Yes, and it was extremely. I don't understand why it won't play. It's a regular MP4. Okay, hold on, we might have it here. And let's try it this way. No, oh wait, open. Here we go. Skip. Oh, people are loving this. People are like,
this is what you're thinking
about. We were thinking about. Paying you $5 a month, but now we're definitely out. No, it's not playing. I don't know why it doesn't play. I'll figure it out.
The dude would make like realistic horse noises, like yes. Subconsciously, right?
Anytime
like
somebody would clear their throat, which you don't realize unless you really key into it, how often people are clearing their throat. But it's a lot, and you're really going to notice it if somebody is. Making a horse whinny noise after every single time somebody clears their throat.
And so they were goosing it. They were like, they're goading him into doing it and recording him.
Remember, he got a female to do it. So some girl in the office would be like,
and then be like, it's amazing.
I mean, it was just one of the wildest things. I don't know. It's the format of the video won't play, unfortunately. So, my apologies. Thank you for that, Dave. And I'm only kidding. Don't be all sad in the DMs, okay, buddy? I'm just joking. It's funny. It's a hard thing. Got a lot of kids. Bri, Jim in Houston here. You kind of cut down Wahlberg. Don't forget his great part in The Departed and Lone Survivor, even the other guys, which was funny. He was in the fighter.
Yeah. He was good in some other things. He was. Yes.
I was being over the top.
He's still a douche.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
of course I saw him interviewed on Ash Wednesday, and he was wearing the ashes on his forehead, like on a late night talk show. The other guys, Will Ferrell and him, are like, you know, mismatched cops. There is a scene with Michael Keaton that is one of the funniest like minutes you're going to see. If you just put Michael Keaton's scene, The Other Guys, it's worth checking out. He's so good. And Michael Keaton is an American treasure.
Okay. He's great. He's so funny. People forget he was a stand-up. Like that's, then you go, oh yeah, no wonder he's so fucking funny because he's so amazing and everything.
That's why he was always one of Letterman's best guests.
Such a good guest. And look, oh wait, he continues, which was funny, by the way. Last time I was in LA for a conference, these two girls pulled up next to me in a Mercedes SUV while I was walking and grabbed and groped my peen and got me half hard and wanted money for the whole deal. True story. I declined, but is that how it goes there? That's never happened to me.
Yeah.
No one has ever just given it a squeeze.
The closest that has happened to me was I was walking through the West Village late at night one time, and a guy said to me, "Are you cool?" And like, clearly he was a gay guy.
Yeah.
And I thought he was like asking me if I'm an ally.
Oh.
So I was like, "Yeah, I'm cool." And then he put his arm around me and I was like, "Oh, I'm not that cool, buddy. Like, no, we're not fucking."
Was he maybe it was too dark. Were you accidentally carrying like a yellow handkerchief?
Yeah, the handkerchief hanging out of my pocket. I forgot about that. And then we fucked, but like I was not into it. I just, you know. Yeah.
You're an ally. I'm an ally. You're such an ally.
I let him finish, but only that one time.
Yes, that you'll allow him to take your aim.
I just remember like I had some drinks. It was like 2 a.m. and he's like, "Are you cool?" "Yeah, I'm cool." Whoa, not that cool, buddy. Not that cool.
Plenty cool. Okay, thank you for that, Jim. No, that's not how it goes down there. Rewatching The Sopranos with the wife and just making sure James Gandolfini is in the old guy bracket. Good day. That's from Adam in Houston. Oh, he's in there. He was 38 on season one. That's just something to consider. Just Tony Soprano, 38 years old on the first season of The Sopranos. So yeah, he's on there. Should we go through the list, Ed?
You keep saying that you've shared it with me. I can't find it in a Google Drive or anything.
I'll share it with you right now. Look, loading. Hold on. Share. It's got your shared as an editor.
I'm looking at Google Drives.
Yeah. I'm gonna reshare. I'm sharing it.
Can you share, just email it to me and maybe
in your Google Docs. Yeah? There's Google Drive and Docs. Sometimes your Docs show up in your Drive.
Google Docs. I was looking at Google.
Yeah. So we gotta trim this down. And like some of these people I think are too. So Burt Young, he's like, that's the emeritus bracket. Like we'll have the Burt Young side of the bracket.
Yeah, see, I'm and the looking, it's just like show rundowns from way back. I don't see it anywhere.
Well, I'll email it to you later.
Yeah.
Burt Young, like, look, like all these, like Alan Hale, Jim Backus, Mrs. Howell. I mean, they're all very, old looking young people, but I think maybe the Gilligan's Island people we might cross out. Robin Leach, he needs to be on there. He's one of the oldest looking young guys ever.
He's the first person that led to us examining ages. That was the first one we mentioned on the show. This was like year one of this show. We talked about Robin Leach and we're like, what? He was 50?
He was in his early 40s when he was doing Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. He was like 43 years old and he looked 7. He died.
And for you like youngsters, this was MTV Cribs, but only about rich white people who were on Dynasty.
Yeah, it was way better. Ted Cruz, amazing. He's like 51. Ron DeSantis, he's 44 or 45, but he's also like an afterthought. I don't know. John Oliver, again, he's younger than we are.
Right. That's crazy.
The 90210 parents, Angela Lansbury in Blue Hawaii, all of the Golden Girls, of course, Travis Rogers, Gabe Kaplan, Otis Nixon, Tony Soprano, Hulk Hogan, Charlie Steiner, Nathan Fielder, Tom Kelly, Sparky Anderson, Jim Leland, Conrad Bain, Captain Stubing, Doc from The Love Boat, Ted Knight. Ted Knight's another one. He died in his early 50s.
Right.
Coach from Cheers, Roy Orbison, The Wizard of Oz, Les Nessman, Alex Jones.
Wizard of Oz.
Texas A&M coach Mike Elko, Kenny Rogers, George Jones, John Wayne, Richard Dreyfuss, Carol O'Connor. Again, he was in his 40s. Lawrence
Bunker.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne and Boys in the Hood, Jason Alexander.
The one thing I'll say about Lawrence Fishburne is I remember reading stories about, you know, he was only like 15 in Apocalypse Now.
It's crazy.
And Dennis Hopper in a jungle with a 15-year-old, he got him into some hard drugs. Yeah. Like Lawrence Fishburne from age 15 to 19 did some crazy hard living, I think.
Yeah. And you know, black don't crack. So he was 30 in Boys in the Hood, but he still looks relatively good. He looks about the same.
He looks good now, but I remember reading, like, he was 15, and they're like, oh, yeah, he was just hanging out with Dennis Hopper in the Philippines jungle. And
Chef, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander, Michael Chiklis, Christopher Lloyd. Nicolas Cage, Hulk Hogan twice, Weird Al, Prince William, Greg Oden, John Goodman, Mean Gene Okerlund, another classic. Oh, Carol O'Connor's on there twice. Chris Berman, Jacoby Brissett, Fred Thompson, Fred Mertz, Mark Margolis, Richard Dreyfuss, Brian Beckner, Large Marge, who I believe passed in her 30s, right?
Yeah, possibly 38, something like that.
Terry Bradshaw, John Lithgow, Richard Burton, Chris Berman again.
I didn't watch the Bradshaw wasn't on the broadcast. I was wondering if the post Super Bowl, if he's like, come here, you fat piece of shit, to Andy Reid like he did last year.
I was hoping. Pat Mahomes Sr. and of course the great Ally Afraidy, who's as we sit is only in his 50s.
The great slap shot from NHL 94.
Exactly. Okay. Another email. Yes. Brian, an idea for the BS mail you're getting. We all know you're
talking about Shen Yun. You can't outrun Shen Yun.
Oh, it's gotten much worse, Ed.
Brian, they've got their tentacles in you.
We all know you can't do the unsubscribe thing because they just sign you up for shit because then they know you're a real person.
Right.
I started blocking junk and have been receiving a considerable amount less shit mail. Just a thought. That's from our dear friend Kyle Ansconi, who is a mensch. He's a delightful human being.
Delightful.
Let me just update you all on the emails I've suddenly been getting. As you may recall. Oh, by the way, I've been getting the voicemail line apparently gets texts. And what? Here's one right here. Hey, Brian. This is Elder Cameron and Elder Cameron Madsen and Elder Dallin Johnson, and we're the local missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints here in Costa Mesa. Mm. We saw you clicked on our ad about attending church with us. We'd love to have you join us. Could we call you from this number in a few minutes to give you the information? Another one. Hey, Brian, just calling to check in with you. How have things been? Another one. Hey, Brian, if you're ever interested in coming to church, please let us know. We'd love to have you join us whenever you'd be able to. Our services are every Sunday at 9 a.m. at 2775 Placentia Avenue. Take care. I know exactly where that is. Corner Placentia Avenue.
No, so I as I said last show, I don't want to bag on people for loving the Lord and all that.
No, we're the best.
But the LDS people, I wouldn't mind if somebody wants to debate me on the trash Davey and Goliath show.
Now, are we sure that was the Mormons were in charge of that?
Yeah, had Mormon written all over it. I'm sure of it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, no, nobody's defending that.
Gee, Davey.
That was horrible.
You're having fun. Shouldn't you feel guilty about that?
So, an update, Ed. I got an email here. Four steps to prayer from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Also,
what are the four steps?
Hold on.
First step has got to be loving the Lord.
Okay. I gotta click on it. Fuck. Okay. I'll click it. Access the power of prayer. Okay. Fuck.
Is it like how to pray? Like find a quiet spot?
Okay. Four. Hold on, Ed. Mm-hmm. Four steps to prayer. You're not going to have seen this one coming. Number one.
Take off your pants.
Begin your prayer.
Oh, wow.
Before you begin, find a quiet place where you feel comfortable. A good way there to start is to address God by name. You could try, Dear God, Dear Heavenly Father, Our Father, which art in heaven, or simply
G-Dog.
Yeah. Here's step two. Ed, you ready?
Yep.
Have a conversation with God. Wow. Speak from your heart and share your hopes and desires as well as your worries and problems. You can
step three is definitely lather up. Step three is definitely lather up.
Number three. Oh, this is, well, hold on, because four is going to be a real surprise. Mm-hmm. Step three, end your prayer.
Hang on a second. This is steps to a prayer and we're already done by step three?
Exactly. Once you've said all that you wanted to say, you can end your prayer by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The end.
We do this because Jesus commanded us to pray in his name. Well, that's fucked.
Commanded seems forceful. You should pray because you want to pray, not commanded.
He died for our sins. Number four, Ed, act on your righteous desires. I would argue that's a post-prayer task.
Yeah, right. It's like step four. I was thinking maybe they'd say like ban women's rights. Something like that.
No black people. Okay. No, we love the Mormons. They're very nice. Okay. But there's more to this, Ed.
Okay.
Because as we know, and look, here's one here. Embrace the season of renewal with blooming flowers from the Shen Yun collections. Okay. They're emailing me.
Season of renewal. That's like a President's Day sale.
Hold on. See, now you're pissing me off because I'm ending up clicking these things. Then they blooming into spring. The language of
I'm just trying to get you to click as much as possible. I know.
The language of flowers spoke deeply in ancient China. Each type of blooming flower was profound and highly respected part of Chinese culture. Oh, these are beautiful, Ed. Mm. Tang flower bracelet cuff, $90. Celestial flowers long scarf. Ooh, I could use this for the podcast. Tang Dynasty Grace ballpoint pen, rose pink. Okay, but Ed, it's getting worse because now somebody has signed me up for something called the Center, which is Center Happenings is the best way to stay up to date on the center's events and news for New York's LGBTQ community.
Wow. So
now I'm part of that, like you and that guy in the West Village, Ed.
So the Tang Dynasty jewelry,
yeah,
does it commemorate the government corruption and high taxes that weakened the Tang Dynasty?
This, and I like everybody's spelling my name with a Y because I got a new one, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for signing up. From Donald J. Trump. Dear Brian, thank you for signing up to become a volunteer.
Thanks for ordering my sneakers.
For our campaign. You are the heart and soul.
You're 75 hard in my sneakers.
You are the heart and soul of our incredible movement to make America great again. Please encourage friends, family, and American patriots like you to join us on the front lines in our noble quest to save our country. Okay. All right. That's enough, guys, right? That's enough. Well, the center's emailed again. Here's another one, Ed.
I read his son is like 6'10 now.
Oh, the special one?
Baron.
Baron.
Not Gummy. He's the special one, Gummy.
Eric.
Eric, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like Baron's like a starting center now.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Okay, here's another one, Ed. Welcome to Cosplay Pros. You've activated your customer account. Next time you shop with this, log in for faster checkout. Here's another one. Welcome to My Patriot Supply.
Oh no, that's that garbage like MAGAware.
Yes, the original Patriot Company, founded by people with a passion for self-sufficiency and independence. We believe that true freedom is enjoyed by reaching a certain level. Oh, this is prepper stuff.
I was thinking that was like the pictures of like Trump playing poker with Winston Churchill and Lincoln.
No, I want the one where it's Fight Club. And he's Tyler Durden.
Yeah, and he's like super jacked.
Yeah, and Mike Pence is like bitch tits. And that no, this is prepper stuff, Ed. I might want this. Who knows what's next? We don't. But what we do know is the best way to stand firm in uncertain times is to rely on yourself. Our highly rated selection of food, water, and survival supplies keeps you secure, ready to tackle a crisis. Like you can't go to the fucking grocery store and get your own fucking tuna. Our commitment to you and your preparedness plan is how we've become the largest, most respected preparedness company in America. Thank you, guys. Thank you for doing this. It makes it harder for me to run to look. Oh, how to find life inside an ammo can.
My
Patriot Supply. I can live in an ammo can.
My favorite prepper was that, what is it, Dirty John? And she was prepping for the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, and then she murdered him. She had all the
shit. She murdered him with zombie stuff.
Yeah, because she had been watching
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. So she was.
Guys, just my luck. If only she was watching, like, Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I'd be. Dirty John would be alive today. He'd be clean, John.
I'd be wearing my dirty scrubs.
Okay. So fuck you guys. Fuck everybody that signed me up for the Mormons and the LGBTQ and cosplay and fucking prepper
you're
shit.
In it. You're in it now.
Now I'm going to miss some emails because there's so many. It's all of my emails are this shit. Fucking assholes. Okay. Let's do some not sports.
Well, it's time for not sports. Not sports segment.
On the
Footballer Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports
segment. Oh, yeah. Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are non-fact sports?
Connecticut pastor was dealing meth in exchange for watching sex.
So meth combined with Reverend Peter Gaze, I'm gonna say he was looking to watch dudes.
Of course.
Yeah. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
What we do with Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics. A lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS.